Well, good morning, and it's great that you could join with us this morning. There are 10 of us here today, given that the new restrictions have come into play, and it is our hope that in the not-too-distant future there will be even more of us be able to gather in the flesh. Wasn't it nice for those who live in the region? Some of us got a little bit of rain. I'm going to interact with those who are here as well. We got a little bit of a sprinkle. It is, for those who live in Gympie, it's the Gympie show weekend, and there was no show, but there was rain, a little bit of rain, and it's traditionally typical that it does rain more than what it has, but we're thankful to God for the rain that we've got. If you're new to our live streaming service, let me just take a moment to explain to you what we're about to do, how our service is going to run. In a few moments, I'll bring to us the teaching from the Bible. And this will be followed by Steve and Maddie leading us in two songs after the message. And then Yo is here and she'll be leading us in a time of prayer when we conclude. This morning then, when we're returning to Jesus' words that he taught his disciples to pray. It's been 2 weeks since we looked at this passage, as Pastor Ben preached last week. But if you've got your Bibles there at home or with me here this morning, and you'd like to open them up to Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin looking again at Jesus' words from verse 9. So if you open it up there, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. This is our third message in our series so far. We have looked carefully at the context of Jesus' words and how Jesus frames his response to those who would ask him, Lord, to teach us to pray. And Jesus has said things like not to be like the hypocrites who have a performance-based prayer life. And when they pray, they are seeking to gain attention and praise from those around them when they pray. And so in Jesus' first words, he says, so pray along these lines or pray this way. And his opening words are, our Father in heaven, name. Secondly, Jesus looked at, he says these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There, Jesus here speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And last time I preached on this, I had 3 points and I spoke about the importance of entering the kingdom, the importance of living out the kingdom on earth, and the importance of longing for the kingdom, the fulfillment of God's kingdom, which will come in its fullness one day when Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead. Well, this morning we will be seeking to take to heart the very next words that Jesus teaches here to pray, which is found in verse 11. If you're looking there with your Bibles open with me. And these words simply say, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Or depending on your translation, it may read, give us this day our daily bread, which is the ESV version. Well, let's get into it this morning, shall we, with a word of prayer before we look at these amazing words of Jesus to us. Would you join with me for a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for our life, and we want to thank you for your words. We want to thank you for Jesus, and we want to thank you, Jesus, that you came and died a sacrificial death on our behalf. You rose again so that we might have hope, not only in this life, but the hope of the life to come. Father, we thank you that we're gathered here and that we can spend some time before we come to your word to hear from you. Father, show us ourselves through the preaching of your word. Show us how we can become more like the Lord Jesus and put our trust in him. Father, we want to thank you for all that you've given us this past week. Lord, food and shelter, friendship, fellowship with you, for some jobs, security, so many things you've given us, Father, and we want to acknowledge that all of this has come from your loving hand. And so, Father, now as we look to you again and look to your word, we ask God that you would feed us from above and that your words would impact our hearts in such a way as that we are filled with joy and a sense of your love around us, that we're wanting to know you and to see your kingdom come. So may your kingdom come now, Father, according to your will, as we spend time in your word. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, these words of Jesus in verse 11 are both profoundly simple and at the same time can be incredibly life-changing. And as I've spent time preparing for this message and meditating on God's word, I've decided that I'm going to take 2 weeks, not next week, but the following week, 2 weeks to unpack these 6 words here contained in our Bibles. But this morning I want to simply look at these words by drawing our attention to 3 clear truths that Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer. They are, number one, that Jesus teaches us that we should recognize and remember where our daily bread comes from. To stop and remember and recognize where our daily provision comes from. Secondly, I want to speak to us about Jesus' encouragement for us to ask our Father in heaven to provide for us. And thirdly, as a result of these two, that we should always give thanks to God for his good provision and that daily. Those are where I'm headed this morning, to recognize, to ask, and to give thanks for our daily bread. Well, firstly then, for the follower of Jesus teaches us to pause and to recognize and remember that our daily life's provision comes from God. And when we have plenty, there is a tendency not to stop and do this deliberately and to be as grateful as we might if we are without. Is there any doubt right now that we are truly and more utterly reliant on the Lord's daily provision? Not only do some of us feel the danger of losing our health, millions have already lost their jobs. And maybe this is a verse that we can remember this morning and to remind us that maybe for some of us, we have taken God's daily provision, even our food, far too lightly. And so this is a good thing to remember this morning. This is very applicable for us this morning. With all this self-sufficiency that is around us in the days that we live in with plenty, it is important more and more for us to keep in touch with the reality of God being our giver. In times like this, we can more keenly feel our need of our provision. In times of trouble, this can be a great means of remembering. And we're told not to worry because the provider of our daily bread takes care of the birds and the flowers. And God says, Jesus says, aren't we worth more than those? So let's ask a few questions about this text as a way into understanding God's word. So let us think about the word us. Jesus says, teaches his disciples to say, give us. So who is the us that Jesus is referring to? Give us our daily bread. Well, surely the simple answer is the disciples that he's teaching to pray. But one should also try hard at this point, I believe, to read Jesus' words from a Jewish historical context. And by that I mean, I can't help but think that at some level, Jesus is speaking to Israel as a nation that the disciples are representative of, and how Israel as a nation was longing and looking to God, who had been their great provider for his people for all time, even before God called Israel into being as a people. God's testimony shows that he has provided for people. Remember along with me this morning then, to take you on a little journey, God providing for the first man and woman in the garden, right in the very early words of the Bible in the early chapters of Genesis. Think along with me about how God provided food for his people through Joseph when there was a great famine in Egypt. Think also how God, when he led his people out of 400 years of slavery and how he provided manna in the wilderness for 40 years to sustain his people. Think of how when God brought his people into the promised land and how they were told how it would happen, how God would bring them into a land he swore to their fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I want to read you from Deuteronomy 6:11, where it says, he had promised great and good cities for you that you did not build. And in verse 11, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cuisines that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In verse 13, he says, it is the Lord your God you shall fear. These are of the words of Moses to God, talking about the plentiful and the provision and the food that you guys will have. And you did not prepare this. God prepared it. He's given it to you as part of you, as part of his kingdom coming. And then there's that warning when this happens, when there is plenty, and when you've entered into the promised land, don't forget where that came from. Don't sit back and pretend that is not a blessing from the hand of God. One cannot help but think that at least it is the disciples in mind here, but the coming of the kingdom, for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. And surely this is speaking here of God's patronage to all those who trust in him, that he is the God who gives, just as he has been giving food and provision right throughout the history of God's people. God is clearly described here by Jesus as the one who is in heaven who gives. He is the one who bestows upon his people daily bread, just like I categorized and catalogued the history of God's people then, all they need for the days. And in many ways, much of the New Testament and the Old Testament speaks of the one who provides all of this, and that he does not need anything. He owns the camels on 1,000 hills, Psalm 50. That is in the context of God saying, I don't need your sacrifices. I already have all these animals and all these cows, and you're doing this, but you need to thank me and come before me, because God is the one who gives. And in asking this prayer and this request, God's showing his patronage that he is the one, he is the giver to all who look to him. So in these words, give us, I believe Jesus is reminding us how much God is able to give, willing to give, wanting to give to all his people everything they need, not only spiritually, not only your kingdom come spiritually, but everything they need for their physical well-being, to see that kingdom come here and now in the real. Just like all of Israel's history, there was an expectation of this kingdom coming in the real, in the flesh, in the now. That just shows you that God is very interested in the now, in you as a person, that he's put together and fashioned and formed to feed and in many ways to require and desire and need God's daily provision. Constantly. That's the way God's designed us and created us. Not as independent beings where we can just go about and get our own food and provide for ourselves, but daily depending upon him, because it's relational. It's relational between his creation and the creator. Surely this is going on here in Jesus' words. So maybe we should stop now and remember what we have, and all that we have is from God, and that God is wanting us to remember this morning that everything we have is from him. Maybe you could just do that now and just remember what God has given you. Well, what has he given you? He's given you everything. Life, breath, food, clothing, friends, the now, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternity. God's given it all to you. Little old you and little old me. Isn't that wonderful? This is not only about giving thanks. I'm talking about, in a sense, living the examined life. I think that's partly what Jesus is doing here. When he's saying, come and ask God, come and remember, come and remember. Live the examined life. In some ways, A lot of what's been going on recently has enabled many, not all, but many to live a more examined life, to stop or to change behaviour. Just a little antidote. Whenever I go on holidays or go away from where I live here, it's like windows start to open up in one's mind. Maybe you've experienced this. You're seeing different things. You're smelling different things. Your routine's changed, and your mind go to places that it wouldn't normally go because you're out of routine. And you start remembering and thinking. And something that often happens to me is that I appreciate greatly, more intently in those times, the relationships I have. The relationships I have with others. And it's not long if you're going on a holiday, and sometimes I take my holidays, often I was going to say, where I'm not with my family because I take holidays away from work and everything else. And you're gone 5 minutes, and you're not really gone. You're gone 5 minutes, and you're wanting to communicate back with those whom you love. Because all of a sudden you remember how blessed you are because you're stopping and remembering and recognizing. That's a wonderful thing. That's a mercy and grace of God at work there to stop and to remember. And so Jesus is teaching us to stop and remember us, his people. Secondly, Jesus in this prayer is teaching his disciples to ask for God's provision. And you might ask, why do we need to ask if God is the one who gives us everything? Well, for two reasons at least, and I'm going to give you more than two reasons, but for God's sake, that's one reason. We ask for God's sake. We ask for God's sake because he is God. He is the one, whether we ask it or not, it comes from him. And it is right to ask from God. It is right for us to remember that everything comes from God. So it's for his sake. God loves being God. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be God. And to ask God is a natural response. What God loves is our Father that we ask. So for God's sake we ask, but we also ask for our own sake, lest we forget that every good thing comes down from above. It reminds me of Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9. I'll read these to you because this is a verse which talks about the reason that we ask for things. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me my falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. There's a couple of reasons there that we should ask. Lest we say, who is the Lord? So ask. God wants us to live out our lives according to his kingdom. And he wants us to seek his kingdom to come. And you can't do that, friends, if you're not getting daily food and daily provision to ask. You will notice that it is daily bread which Jesus asks us to ask for. Which means this is something that should be asked for daily. Daily bread, daily. Now, I don't think Jesus here is coming from the perspective of legalism. You must ask every day. But rather, he's coming from the point of view that God is willing to give every day. God is abundant in his generosity. So come every day and ask and have this relationship with me, is what Jesus is pushing at. And friends, this would not be lost on the early disciples because many of the people in Jesus' day, he had a hand-to-mouth relationship for work. They would work a day's wage and they would go and buy the food that they need. In fact, some of you may remember that a number of Jesus' parables spoke about this and the generosity of God, and it upset the hearers because Jesus said, you know, you might start at this time of day and someone might start a bit later and someone quite late in the afternoon, and the one who pays the wages gave them all the same amount, describing how generous God is. because people would turn up for work and hope to get work. And in many days gone past, I can remember situations being like that, where you'd all, a whole bunch of labourers would turn up for work and, yes, we'll take you, you and you, and the rest of you can go home, we don't have enough work for you. Hand to mouth, very much like that in the days of Jesus. Not only that, the fishermen, hand to mouth, if they didn't catch fish, they wouldn't be feeding their family. And so daily, a daily request of prayer in a cultural situation, not like ours, not where there's an abundance, but where there is not a lot and there's a real dependency on God's provision. If they did not work, they would not eat, and neither would their families. So Jesus says, go ahead. You must ask our Father. You're encouraged to ask our Father. I wonder when we do our asking. When should we ask? When should we pray this prayer? Now, if you're looking at the verses, you can see that Jesus doesn't say, pray this prayer in the morning. But it does make a lot of sense to pray this prayer in the morning, does it not? To pray for our daily provision. Maybe if you prayed this prayer at night, you'd be thanking God for your daily provision and perhaps asking for the next day's provision. But it makes a lot of sense to start the day asking God to provide for you, to provide everything you need to see his kingdom come in this day. Not only bread, but how about grace? How about give me, Father, the patience to deal with people who don't see and behave in the ways that I see and behave? Father, help me to be generous. Help me to be loving. Help me to be faithful. Help me to guard my eyes and my wandering thoughts. Help me to be diligent. Help me to speak the gospel freely when I'm provided opportunities to do that. This is preparation, is this not? Looking to God that you might see his kingdom come and that you might be part of that in a relationship throughout the whole day. Wow. This makes a lot of sense to ask God what you need for the coming day. And when, maybe you could pray this prayer in a different way, give us today our daily bread, by turning it around at night time and just recalling the things that God has provided for you that day as you close your eyes and go to sleep. And maybe pray that God, even this day, that I go to sleep, because we actually do sleep part of the day, each day, don't we? And to ask that God would provide our bodies to continue to pump oxygen and blood around our bodies when we're totally depending on God, when we go off to sleep, and that he would awake us according to his will the next morning. That's part of God's provision through prayer and dependence upon him. Well, what else can we say? Clearly, Jesus is teaching his disciples that God is interested in our physical well-being as well as our spiritual well-being every day. So friends, let me encourage you to go ahead and ask God. Ask God for all that you need and for others in the fellowship who are a part of us and for your families. Ask for yourselves. Ask for your children. Ask for your families, not only for food, but for everything. Everything to see God's kingdom coming. This, remember last time I said, God is answering this prayer. God is bringing his kingdom to fruition. Much of the West, we're thinking God has put a pause button on things. No, this, God is bringing his, he's not stopped. His kingdom is coming and we're part of that. God hasn't gone on holiday. He's intimately involved. He is determined and predestined this day, this morning, that we should even hear this word, that we should ask. His kingdom is coming, and we're part of it. And he's included us to be part of it, us, to enjoy him forever. Well, let's get to the third aspect. Now, the third aspect I want to draw our attention to is giving thanks. Now, you'll notice that Jesus doesn't actually say that in these verses, in these six words. That's true. But clearly, there is an inference that when God does provide and when we do ask, that we should our response is to give thanks. To give thanks. This is not only exhibited in Jesus' own ministry when he's providing food for the multitude, that he gives thanks to God before he gives it out. It's also seen in the teachings and the ministries of the apostles, and giving thanks for all things in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to quote the Apostle Paul. So let's talk for a moment then about giving thanks. What then for us does this prayer teach us? When do we give thanks for God's daily provision? I know that for many of you, as for us, we give thanks for food at our meal times, giving thanks for all that God has provided. This is a great practice, and many of us eat three times a day, so there you go, there's three opportunities. Some of us eat a lot more often than that, but what a wonderful time to give thanks. What a wonderful opportunity. And there's a variety of occasions. You don't have to be eating to be giving thanks. Maybe you give thanks as a family in prayers around your mealtime, and as there is food on our plate. And some people do this, and there's many different ways of doing this. Some people and families and groups hold hands. You turn up to someone's house and it's their custom to hold hands. And you're sitting there waiting to give thanks, and then the little hand comes across. Oh, okay, let's hold hands then. We hold hands in this family. Well, that's what you do when you're visiting. that's quite ironic given the situation we're in right now. Don't touch my hand. I think in families that is fine, that's okay, and we're praying that that would return to normal. Giving thanks around the meal times. Sometimes the father will always give thanks, and you might be in one of those homes or growing up in one of those homes. Dad is going to pray, so everyone bows their head perhaps, or mother's going to pray, whatever the custom might be. Some people love sticking to routines and customs, and that's okay, that's good. Other families share the prayer time. Oh, would you like to give thanks for the meal tonight? In fact, even the way that we talk about giving thanks for our food, some people like to say, let's give grace, or let's say grace. I like to use the word giving thanks. Yes, it's a means of grace because God has given food, but I like to give thanks because we're giving thanks to God for the food. And so sometimes in your home you might say, oh, would you like to give thanks tonight? Or perhaps not, because you don't want to embarrass the children or catch them. You don't know how they're feeling. You might say, who would like to give thanks tonight? Oh, me, I'd love to give thanks tonight. Can I do it? Yes, absolutely. Well, let's all just thank God for the food. Maybe in some families, some people might sing 2, 4, 6, 8. 2, 4, 6, 8. Bargain, don't wait. Well, that's not really a prayer, but I understand that some people do. That's more of a ditty, a little song. But let me ask you about other times when you might want to give thanks. Maybe you're not in the home. Maybe you're out for a meal. Some people will give thanks at home, but not give thanks out in the public. Have a little think about that, about is that appropriate? And how do you do that in a way which honors God rather than just drawing attention to yourself? I personally actually really like giving thanks publicly, not so people can think that I'm some kind of spiritual guru, because in our culture they're likely not to think that anyway. In fact, it can be quite a humbling thing if you want to look at it socially. I mean, people go, oh, yeah. But it's a wonderful opportunity to both give thanks to God and to, in a sense, be an example that there are people out there, not for the main reason, but as a result, there are people out there who know and love God. I'm actually encouraged when I go out for a meal and I see people bow their head and give thanks for the meal to God just quietly at their table. I'm actually, my own faith is encouraged. I get encouraged. Wow, that's great. I wonder if they are Christians. I wonder if they're evangelical Christians. I wonder if they're born again. I wonder where they go to church. I wonder if they know Jesus. And I kind of get a little excited, and I'm like, you know, it's fantastic. Isn't it an encouragement? So maybe you want to think about that and think about your practice yourself. So I'm not talking about giving rules here. I'm talking about part of living the examined life and experience in a relationship of giving thanks to God daily so that God would be glorified. I remember the old Bible chapel camps that I used to go to, my parents sent me along to when I was about 10 years old. They were called the Everett Road Christian Camp in Inglewood in New Zealand. I was about 10 and I wasn't raised in a Christian home, so to speak. But every meal time when we'd go into the mess or the place where we'd have, it was a mess, where we went and had food, it was a lot of fun, and all these hundreds of kids there, and they'd always give thanks because it was a Christian camp, and someone would stand at the front after us, we're making all noises with our cups and spoons and everything, and they would say, "We're going to give thanks tonight, today for the food," and they would sing, and maybe you know this song, they would sing, "Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Right where we are. Amen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Right where we are. Amen." And towards the end, when we knew it was going to get to the end, everyone would start banging their knives and forks. So the whole thing just become like a grand symphony. And it was just wonderful, 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 memorable times, great times. Now, I can't remember much else about the camp, but I remember giving thanks. I remember the flying fox, and I remember some people on the kayaking. But there is something in giving thanks to God. It feels good. It feels right, whichever way you do it. And I'm sure that was true for hundreds, possibly even thousands of kids who attended those camps for many, many years. I've just told you what happened to me. Now, that was over 40 years ago for me, and I can still remember those times like it was yesterday. Can you? Can you remember times like that yourself? What things are you doing as a family now, or as an individual now, that are building spiritual traditions, not just pulled from the sky, but delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ himself through his words to give thanks? What are you doing? And how is that impacting your life? Think upon those things that you've experienced and become a blessing to those around you. I want to give us a few closing thoughts then. I'm not done, but we're headed in that direction. Let me again remind you what we've just talked about briefly. We've talked about Jesus teaches us to give us this day our daily bread. And by doing so, he's teaching us to recognize and to remember that all our daily provision comes from God. And also that Jesus is teaching his disciples to ask. To ask what we need through prayer. Because God is willing and generous and good. And thirdly, we are to give thanks. We have to give thanks for all that we've got, all God's daily provision. He is a great provider. He's provided for us, even when we may have to have gone without a few little things or a few inconveniences. Just stop and think about all that he's given you this day. But I want us now just to think for a moment what God is really saying here through Jesus, apart from these very clear principles. Because God has put these words on Jesus' lips as one who speaks for God. One who speaks for God. And God is saying, in essence, through Jesus' words, "Come and ask me. For everything you need, I am the giver. Come and ask me." Now, that for some is a very real reality. They have very little and don't have a job, don't have food and can't pay their mortgage, and people in their lives have other people to support and they're struggling to do that perhaps at the moment, and they're really needing to look to God for his very real provision daily. And God is saying, "Come to me. Come to me." And if you're in that situation, then we'll pray for you. But if you're not in that situation, then you have even more reason to come to God and give him thanks. What Jesus is saying to both those who have daily food in abundance and those that don't, he is saying God is wanting us to draw closer to him through recognizing and asking him as our Father. See, these are practical things, remembering, asking, and thanking. But these are things that are all relationship-based. Jesus is giving us these words so that we might grow in our relationship with God. And to not give thanks, to not acknowledge, to not remember, is to rob not only God of His glory, but to rob something deeply and inherently spiritual about our relationship with our God and our Father. We are ripping ourselves off, if you like. This is a gift of grace. To give thanks is a gift of grace. Those words that Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," would not be said if a person was genuinely drawing closer to God at every mealtime and thinking and living an examined life and building a closer relationship where they know their God. This is what it is. This is a gift, my friends. Every word that Jesus teaches His disciples to pray is a gift to us in our relationship so that we might know our Father. Not just know about Him, but know Him and walk with Him and enjoy Him throughout our day. See how precious this is. Who could imagine? 6 words can change your entire relationship with your Father. This is a reality. Who could imagine? God gives these words from Jesus that we might grow closer to Him, not only each day, but every moment of the day, throughout the day. Wow, there is much more to say here, and we're going to return to this because these words that Jesus speaks have so much implication that they need to be shared again. But before I close, I want to read to you from a wonderful article written by Trevin Wax, and it's going to take me 5 minutes to read, but it really encapsulates and summarizes some of the experiences that we have around God's provision and food and giving thanks. And I want to read it to you, and then I'll conclude with a time of prayer. But before I read that, let me just encourage you this morning as a family or as an individual, to redeem this time, to think deeply before you give thanks, before you sit down and have your meals. I want you to think about this ahead of time. I want you to give some thought this week soon you're going to be probably having lunch. I want you to really think about that time that you sit down with your food and your family. Or later on today, I want you to take some of these thoughts upon yourself and just think about God and remember. I want this to count. I want this to change our lives. I don't want us to go through routine, but I want us to take to heart what Jesus has blessed us with this morning. Well, let me read to you what Trevin Wax says for our encouragement. He writes, "Every now and then, I am overcome with gratitude for little things that bring a rush of happiness that far suppresses their cost. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, I've been on grocery duty. Every Saturday morning, armed with a face mask, an ink pen, and a list of items that has been growing all week, I risk my life to bring food to the family. Well, it's probably not that big a risk, but I confess the sense of adventure adds a bit of enjoyment to my routine. So there I am, list in hand, pursuing the produce aisle section, and I see pineapples on sale for $2 for $5. They're 2 shelves away from bananas, which cost pennies, not dollars each. Across the aisle are delicious oranges. Later this summer, we'll scoop out the luxurious red insides of the watermelon. What extraordinary times we live in, with fruits from all across the world available to us at such affordable prices. When was the last time you sank your teeth into a peach and felt like falling on your face in worship before the giver of all good things, or wanted to extend thanks to all the people, hundreds likely, perhaps thousands, who made it possible for that fruit to go from a field to your fridge. A.J. Jacobs, in his book Thanks a Thousand, shows he hasn't lost his sense of wonder at the extraordinary little things we have so easily taken for granted. And he writes, "It's a Tuesday morning and I'm in the presence of one of the most mind-boggling accomplishments in human history. This marvel I see before me is the result of thousands of human beings collaborating across dozens of countries. It took the combined labor of artists, chemists, politicians, mechanics, biologists, miners, packagers, smugglers, and goat herders. It required aeroplanes, boats, trucks, motorcycles, vans, pallets and shoulders. It needed hundreds of materials, steel, wood, nitrogen, rubber, silicon, ultraviolet light, explosives. It relied upon ancient wisdom and space-age technology, freezing temperatures and scoring heat, high mountains and deep waters. It is my morning cup of coffee." The book chronicles AJ's journey of seeking to thank every single person who made possible his cup of coffee. "I'm not a coffee drinker," writes Trevin, "but I assume my cup of Earl Grey in the morning requires similar feats of innovation and collaboration. It's astonishing how much satisfaction I receive from a tea bag steeped in a mug of hot water. Sit down with that cup and open your Bible. Now consider the extraordinary fact that you have the very Word of God at your fingertips. A library of 66 books, including more than 700,000 words and millions of individual characters, all requiring an unfathomable amount of time and attention from teams of people who proofread every line of text, expertly designed to fit into thinner than normal paper within a single volume wrapped with a goatskin cover. What would Jerome have said if you gave him your Bible, or Augustine? And how would they respond if you told them you could buy a Bible at the same place that you get all these fruits for a price less than two cups of coffee you just drank, made possible by a supply line that extends around the world?" Trevin writes, "I'm sitting outside on my patio as I write this, in quarantine with the sun shining, birds singing, breeze blowing. I didn't pay a penny for the sunshine today. I don't have a subscription to a streaming service that gives me a VN ambience. I'm not paying for a fan to gently blow the fresh spring air onto my skin. The sun today costs less than my extraordinary affordable cup of tea. It's a gift, in fact, as is everything else. So here we are, in difficult times for sure. Loved ones at risk of catching a life-threatening illness, salary reductions, job losses, isolation and loneliness, fear and anxiety. What will the future hold? It may seem insensitive to say we should look for reasons to be grateful during such a season. Trevin, I'm just trying to survive," he writes. "I agree, my friend. Samuel James, who believes it is appropriate, even necessary, to mourn what we've lost during the season. From church to school to other events with the family and friends that make life fun. Still, our grief can and should be mixed with gratitude. We may or may not survive, but we certainly won't thrive unless we chase away some of our discouragement with thanksgiving. When we think about the marvels of God's creation and the many people who are putting themselves at risk to keep essential services flowing, and the heroes in healthcare who are literally face to face with this virus, how can we not be grateful? Without gratitude, the soul shrivels," he writes. "Our sense of self-importance rises, and our acknowledgement of how much we owe others falls. Without gratitude, daily irritations overcome our hearts, blinding us from the gifts of God and the contributions of other people that fill our lives every single day. Without gratitude, our minds will flirt from worry to worry, racing in circles as we focus on what we've lost instead of rejoicing over what we still have. Without gratitude, we are permanently distracted, unable or unwilling to notice and appreciate the gifts of God. As Chesterton wrote, "The aim of this life is appreciation. There is no sense in not appreciating things, and there is no sense in having more of them if we have less appreciation for them. Grief is good, lament is appropriate, but gratitude-infused grief and hopeful lament, that's even better. So think twice next time you pour that cup of coffee, or slice that delicious pineapple, or open that God-breathed book on your desk, and give thanks to God. He sees you, He loves you, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him." Well, may that be an encouragement to us all this morning. And let us now turn to our Father as we pray and give thanks to Him for what we've received this morning. Our Father, we thank You that You are in heaven. And we thank You, Lord, that You sent Jesus. And we want to say, hallowed be Your name, praised be Your name. You are holy and good, and You've been kind to us. And we pray, Father, Your kingdom would continue to come as it is coming. And Father, You'd continue to provide for us everything we need, that we might glorify You, that we might sing Your praises. Father, we thank You, Father, for our time this morning. We pray, Lord, throughout this coming day and throughout the coming week, that we would take stock, that we would stop and remember and recognize and meditate upon Your goodness towards us. That, Father, we would ask as well for our provision that comes from You for everything we need. That we would ask that You would continue to form the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our actions. That we would ask for others who are struggling. That we would ask that You would be their great provider and that they would look to You as their provider. Father, help us to be a asking and thankful people. Father, we thank You for our lives. We thank You for the things that You bring into our lives that cause us to ask, cause us to stop, and cause us to thank You. Father, we thank You for the season. Although it's been difficult and there are still difficulties around us, we thank You, Lord, that You are the God who sustains. You are the God who provides. You are the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who will continue to give all that we need to all that You that we need as Your people. So, Father, help us to be conscious of this fact this week, that we might change our behavior and reflect what Jesus is saying in this prayer as He taught His disciples to pray. And we ask it in Your name, for Your sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Steve and Maddie to sing us in a song, a couple of songs of response.